Good morning and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you on Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2008. It is now 6:32 a.m. Central Daylight Time. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. We have five open lines. This is an atypical day for us to broadcast. We typically broadcast on a Thursday morning, but because of the holiday, we are doing it a day early. So we do hope we have some surprise listeners and we have some surprise callers today. 646-652-4620. Also, you can send me your email anytime, comments at libertytalkradio.com. If you are listening to a rebroadcast, you may also phone in your comments to area code 918-919-0101 and yap away. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy Sutton's commentary on contraryinvestorscafe.com. Andy puts out a weekly, newsletter on the economy. He takes things from a macroeconomic level. In this day and age, it's invaluable. My opinion, he is the very, very best in the business, folks. By the way, this program is now available on Sunday evenings also through Restore the Republic Radio Network. We appreciate their commitment to our program and encourage you to visit their website, rtrradio.com, for their entire listing of informative programs. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, that takes care of all the preliminaries, folks. Good morning, everyone. This morning, I just want to talk about a host of subjects. I want to concentrate basically on privatized health care and some of the advantages. You know, we get lost in these conversations regarding health care because we bring in so many aspects of the health care system. And, of course, then we have anecdotal information like, you know, what would you do with this poor person who did this and that? And, you know, if they didn't have this, then, you know, and they just muddy the issue. So we want to clarify some of that today because it's part of our freedom. Our freedom here in the United States or anywhere in the world is predicated on the fact that we have the ability. We have we are provided with the right to do what we please with our money. And see, people don't really truly understand that. They feel that, well, you know, if we have a government and I give the money to the government will spend it for me and provide me with services and life will be good. Well, you know as well as I do, that just is not the case. The government will never spend your money as judiciously as you do. And as a result, you basically don't even know where your money's going. So when people take your money and redistribute it, what they are doing is they are enslaving you. It's a very simple process. I mean, just think of this. I mean, taxes are very insidious. They come out little by little. The government didn't come out one day and said, oh, there's no income tax, but we're just going to make it 30% today. I mean, there would be a riot, right? But they just have 1% and then 1.5% and 1.75% and 1.875%. And it keeps on growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. Today, some of the tax rates are down. Our debt is up. In other words, the government continues to spend money. And what they've done, instead of taxing us right now, What they've done is they've taxed the people who have not even been born yet. Well, let's assume for a second that the taxes were not, let's say, 28% or 23% or whatever range you're in, the tax bracket you're in. But let's assume it was 100%. What would you consider yourself? Well, you say I was a slave because all of the money that I make goes to somebody else. I get nothing for all of my efforts. Well, that's exactly my point. Well, if the government takes, let's say, only a quarter of your money, you know, are you still not a slave? Think about that. Well, you're not a slave to the extent that they have all your money, but they have control of a large portion of your money, which means that you are enslaved to the government to the tune of 25%. Now, what's worse than that is that they've impoverished not only the nation, but they've impoverished future generations. So when people are born, they're literally born into slavery. Now, if the government didn't enslave the future citizens of this country, then our tax, instead of paying 25% or whatever it is, you know, and this is only federal tax, by the way, if you add in state and local and excise taxes and sales taxes, we pay 50% or more in taxes. Well, to me, that's slavery. And when you have 50% more, I mean, there's no question about it. But what if the government didn't go into debt, but in fact taxed us for all of its current spending? What would our tax rate be? Would we then be up to 66%, two-thirds? So we don't realize that this insidious tax system and the way the government goes about it enslaves us, and basically we're enslaved now. I mean, how many decisions do we make based on a tax incentive tax relief? You know, well, if I buy this now, you know, I get a tax break. You know, if I buy green, you know, I get a tax break. You know, we're always talking about taxes. We're not talking about freedom to do what we want to do. And that really hacks me off. I mean, we really have to think about that. And these stupid politicians, they keep on telling us, well, they're going to do more and do more and do more. Well, they're totally bankrupt. We blame the auto companies because the executives are still making very large salaries while the automakers are losing money. And we have a congressional committee that is interrogating these guys, asking them how they're going to get out of the red. Well, shouldn't that be the opposite? Shouldn't we, the citizens, be on the committee asking these clowns when they are going to get out of the red? If the government is 11 or 12, whatever it is, 11 trillion dollars in debt, why do they continue to take salaries? They have failed. They failed miserably. So why do they continue to take salaries from a government that's bankrupt? Well, see, we don't think through that. We just take everything for faith, or we have belief systems and whatever, and it's all garbage, folks. It's 100% garbage. If you really start thinking, you have the fox watching the hen house. I mean, this is exactly what's happening now. There's been a big debate, before we get out to privatized healthcare, there's been a big debate on TV as to who's to blame, Madoff or the investors. There are those who believe that Madoff, rather. I say Madoff. I guess, of course, I think he's mad. But Madoff, but he made off with the money. I should think that way. Madoff with the money. But Madoff, there are people who believe that Madoff is 100% at fault, and the investors were just duped. Now, I don't put 100% blame on Madoff, because what he did was wrong, and he should hang for it. However, there were people who were experts who put all of their money in Madoff because they thought that they were going to get a better return with him than someplace else. Now, these supposedly experts, and these were fund managers, these were nonprofit organizations that had financial people working for them, these people should go to jail too. These people should be sued civilly. I mean, they did nothing criminal, but they should be sued civilly, you know, for gross incompetence. They should lose their licenses, whatever, if they have a license, you know, and be held accountable for that. Because they thought they were just being smart by getting a large return on their money when everyone else in the world was losing money. And at no time did these people say, you know, there's something suspicious about that. Now, should the SEC also bear the blame? Absolutely. They fell down on the job. And that's the problem with government regulation. Government regulation doesn't work because you develop these gigantic bureaucracies that have all sorts of special interests influencing them. And, you know, well, these people you do something with, these people you really write hard and whatever, for political reasons more than anything else. And, of course, they never have the staff to do the job right. If they only had more money. Now we go to the back to the first part of my conversation. And that is, you know, instead of being taxed 1%, we go 1.5%, 1.75%, 1.875%. And then it's the same thing with these departments. Well, you know, they only have, you know, $420 million. If they had $560 million, you know, they would have had the staff to do this, this, and that. No, they would have. They would have embellished themselves. They would have given themselves more money. They would have hired more secretaries, taken more trips, you know. Nothing else would have been done. I mean, come on. And the thing is that you can't have a centralized government controlling everything. There are people who are going to go their own way. And you can't. I mean, you'd need, for every person who's involved in financial matters, for example, in this case, you'd need somebody in government watching them. Well, what are you going to do? Have a department of 120,000 people or 2.5 million people? I mean, it's stupid. And people spend most of their time filling out these stupid forms, you know, documenting that they're in compliance with some sort of stupid regulation that purportedly keeps them in line. That's what Madoff did. Madoff did. And what happened there? Good old Bernie made $50 billion at everyone else's expense. Excuse me, I'm going to have a cup of coffee. Folks, it's already almost a quarter to the hour. My name is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Our phone number is 646-652-4620, 646-652-4620. You know, I want to change the subject just for a second. Now, you know, we put our faith into government, then government taxes us, takes our money, and purportedly they give us anything. And here we have President-elect Obama, who now is talking against his promises that he made during his campaign already. Now, instead of, you know, originally he was going to introduce programs that were going to stimulate the economy, good for the Americans, good for the working class, good for the poor and the whole bit, by cutting expenses. Now he says, well, we really can't do that. We need a bolder approach. You know what a bolder approach means? Spending somebody else's money. Now, he can't tax us anymore because we're going down the tubes, so he's going to indebt future generations. Now, that's a bolder approach. You know, I can be very bold that way. If I can spend somebody else's money, you have no idea how bold I can get. And the thing is, the media buys that. The media says, well, he's taking a bold approach, and this is what we need during these tumultuous times, and blah, 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 blah. You know, what garbage that is. Instead of saying, folks, bolder approach means he's going to borrow more money that we don't have and we cannot afford. That's what it means. This guy's a clown. He's a clown like all the other clowns. Now, why isn't the media holding his feet to the fire? Well, they're not because they're owned by the government. They're owned by the government because they're owned by large corporations with government contracts. And anyone who gets a little bit out of whack, just a little bit too much out of whack, gets fired. They get off the air. And what you have to do then you relegate it to programs like mine when you have to get on the internet to find out what really is going on. I'm curious. And when you see these guys who are politicians who have all sorts of shady backgrounds, and then you look back and you find that, you know, at one time all these guys were cozy with these other guys who we think are wonderful, wonderful people, you know, and wonderful people. So, it couldn't be the guy that I'm, you know, I'm voting for. For example, is Barack Obama, was he cozy with the Blagojevich, you know, the governor of Illinois? Well, they say, well, he has no contact with him recently, but if he was cozy with him at one time, then I have to say, I go to my old sayings that my grandmother used to say and my mother used to say, you know, birds of a feather flock together and stuff like that. You know, it really bothers me that these guys are real cozy at one time, and then all of a sudden when things get rotten or they get exposed, then all of a sudden they can't, I haven't spoken to this guy in years, you know. Well, you want to know something? I don't have any friends that are scam artists. I don't have any friends that are killers, mass murderers. You know what? Because I know my friends. The ones friends that I have are so good. They're good as gold. I mean, I can take any one of my friends. I can take everything that I own, all my money, all my possessions, everything that I hold dear to me, and I can give it to any one of my friends and say, hold on to it, and it would be in better shape with them than it would be with me. And they would never do anything to harm anybody. They're good, good people. They're good. They're good at heart. You know, I have this sore throat, this throat infection, which is much better, by the way. And yet I have my friends call me, how are you doing? They stop over and they give me vitamins and all stuff. They say, oh, my grandmother said this works, you know. And I take it, and I guess it all helps a little bit because I am getting better. But, you know, I really appreciate that. None of my friends are going to be involved in some political scandal, some business scandal, some criminal activity. None of them. I would stake my life on that. And it just bothers me that all these people who are involved in all of this shady garbage. I mean, these people are shady. They didn't get shady on, you know, February 20th. I mean, these guys have always been shady. They've always been con artists. And you mean these people, when they were palling together and they were friendly, they didn't know that? Well, if I had a friend who was a scam artist or something like that, you know that. It's like when a girl dates a guy. You know, she dates him for a long period of time, and you really get to know that person. You don't have to live with them or anything. I always get to know them, get to know their friends. And after a while, there are indications. You say, there's something wrong with this guy. Nothing adds up. And that's what you're looking for. Anyway, enough of that. You know, today we seem to be encouraging people to buy when we don't feel like buying. We don't want to buy because we can't afford it. We're becoming more responsible. And we want to take our money and we want to save it. And the government's very upset about that. They want to get people to spend. In fact, they want to get people to spend so badly, they're willing to indebt future generations, as well as ourselves, increase the national debt, weaken the dollar, create higher inflation, by issuing checks to everyone so we'd go out and spend. Well, one of the reasons why we're in the fix that we're in now is that we spent money that we didn't have. We as individuals and municipalities and states and all the local governments, state governments, and especially the federal government. Now, the way we're going to solve that is by putting people more in debt. Now, if the government gives us money, we may not go more in debt, but we will be indebted because that money has to be paid back. So we, in fact, are putting it on our government credit card. Think of that. Every time the government prints money that's unnecessary to the economy, it's like putting it on a government credit card. But the government doesn't pay it back. We do. So we may have Visa. We may have MasterCard. We may have American Express. We may have a Discover card. And then we have a government credit card. Look at it that way. And our government credit card has the largest balance on it so far. Anyway, I want to talk a little bit about privatizing healthcare. I know it's getting kind of late. I just rambled on many other things, but Well, just by the way, this is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Our phone number is 646-652-4620. I really would love someone to call in. 646-652-4620. We only have about 8 more minutes to go. But I went to the doctor for my throat, the specialist for my throat the other day, and he gave me some heavy-duty antibiotics, cost a fortune, like $20 a pill. I had to take 7 of them, $140. But I was willing to pay it because my throat's been so bad for so long. And it didn't do the trick. You know they guess. And what's interesting is that in no other field does someone recommend something, it doesn't work, and we still have to pay it. Now, sometimes you can say, well, in advertising, they do that. They have, you know, paid advertising agency, and if people don't buy the product, the agency doesn't pay back. But usually there is some sort of payback. I mean, there's some say, well, you know, that didn't work. We'll give you a break on the next one, you know. But there is something, or you lose the client even worse, and then they go someplace else. But I said, you know, isn't it kind of interesting that you can go to the doctor and it doesn't work, and yet when you go back, they say, well, let's try this. So I said, well, what about the money for the last one? Well, you know, they don't know. I mean, they just don't know, so they try. Well, my point being is that there's a problem today. The title of this segment is called Patient versus Customer. A big problem that we have today in our healthcare system is that the patient is not the customer. Usually the customer is either an insurance company or, more likely, the government. So I can go to a doctor, and I'm the patient, but I'm not the customer because I'm not the person paying. I'm on Medicare now. So now the government pays. So the doctor can do, he says, well, I'm going to see you every other day, you know, and bill $175 for each visit, you know, make a fortune. But if I had this direct relationship with the doctor, and the doctor knows it, and the doctor would know automatically that I have a very, very finite resources. And then I say, look, doc, you know, if this doesn't work, then what? You know, we can have a dialogue back and forth. He says, well, this is going to be kind of expensive. You know, if this doesn't work, let's try that. With, you know, I mean, he'll lay it out, you know, and he'll lay out the most, the least expensive path for me. He just won't automatically bill me. Or he may give me a break, you know, on the visit, you know, depending on how much time he spent with me. Because he knows I have finite resources and he's not going to bankrupt every one of his patients. Now, I tell my friend that. I said, you know, if we really had this relationship with our doctors, the cost of healthcare would probably go down 75%. I said, I made up that figure. I have no idea how to prove it. But I said, just think of the millions upon millions upon millions of visits, doctor visits every year, millions upon millions. And if every one of them were either they didn't occur because they were unnecessary checkups or whatever, or they were done more economically because the person was paying it and then negotiated with the doctor. The doctor realized that this person who had limited resources, especially a poor person, you know, couldn't pay $175 every week to go to the doctor. They would be, I mean, hundreds of billions of dollars in healthcare would go down. First of all, prices of healthcare would go down. And secondly, the amount of unnecessary stuff would go down tremendously. And there would be more competition in the workplace. Well, my friend said, that I mentioned this too, who's a progressive socialist. He said, well, he says, that doesn't work that way. He says, because when you have a heart attack or something like that, you don't go around you know, looking for the best deal on a heart surgeon, you know, you're sent to the emergency room. Well, he's absolutely right. But I'm not referring to that. You know, but he made a good point that we're not going to go around, you know, we're just going to go to the doctor, whatever doctor's there available to, you know, save our lives and to save our lives. Well, that's sort of like having a car. And when you change the oil, that's like going to the doctor for a flu shot or because you have the flu or a sore throat like I had. That's sort of like taking your car in because it's making noise. You know, it's not running properly. Well, you don't go to the insurance company and put in a claim. You don't go to the manufacturer unless it's a brand new car. You know, it's under warranty. But, you know, you just you don't do that. You pay for it out of pocket. Now, in the event that you're in a bad accident, what happens? Well, it gets fixed by the insurance company may pick a person, you know, to fix the car, and then they pay for most of it. Well, that would be the same thing as if you had a heart attack. My point being is that once you privatize the healthcare system, what you reestablish, which is most important, is that the patient becomes the customer.
And once the patient becomes the customer, healthcare costs automatically come down. It is guaranteed. Now, there are doctors out there who will not take Medicare or Medicaid. Medicare or Medicaid, or any sort of insurance. What they do is they basically donate their time. They ask the people to pay what they can. Now, they don't make much money, but it drives down the cost of healthcare, right? People pay directly, and there's this relationship between the patient and the doctor. And I'll bet you these doctors do okay, and they have no paperwork. Everything's done on a cash basis. You know, just think how simple that is. Just think how simple that is. Now, I don't mind going to a doctor if I have a problem. But people say, well, you know how a doctor visit costs today? I said, you know, doctor visits cost so much today because somebody else is paying for it. You see, we're looking at the wrong end of the stick. You know, we keep on looking at the wrong end. And as a result, you know, healthcare costs keep on going up. In fact, as regulations go up for the doctors, all the doctors do is they find other ways of, you know, covering their cost. You know, by saying, okay, well, let's say I have to see a person every 3 months. Well, he's seen me every 6 weeks. So he throws in an extra visit, bills Medicare another $175, you know. And normally he would not have done that. But because of the restrictions, because, you know, he's not making any money because Medicare puts a cap on everything he does, what he does is he increases the frequency or something else like that. I mean, there's no way to control it. Just like there was no way to control Madoff, there's no way to control the healthcare system. That is impossible. Anyway, I just wanted to give you that as a thought. I wish everyone a happy, very happy holiday. And I will be broadcasting Sunday evening again. Please look at my blog and for the subject matter. I'm not sure what it's going to be yet, but I'll think of something clever, I hope. Okay? And with that, I bid you a very, very Merry Christmas. And I hope Santa Claus brings you a lot of good stuff. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Shakers Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Remember, you are, folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated, your life is in your own hands, but with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. You now have a controlled ride that isn't any more fun. Ron Paul has a sign at his desk that says, don't steal, the government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well, stay tuned.